A reading from the letter of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. You may find it in the New Testament of your Pew Bible on page 198. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge you, Eudaia, and I urge you, Syntyche, to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal yoke fellow, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Hear what the Spirit is saying. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Diane. I want to hold up our choir, all laypersons, for its service, and thank Michael, another of our lay ministers, this Laity Sunday, for his good leadership and guidance. Paul opens his letter to the Philippians addressing all the saints in Philippi, including the bishops and deacons. Paul seems to say that the saints, first and foremost, are you, our saints, durable and new, our laity. We'll include Becky and Judith, Chuck Cox, and the other elders around because we love them. But know that Paul's primary audience is the laity gathered. We celebrate all our ministries this Laity Sunday. Today's anthem proclaims the loveliness of all who bring good news, who spread peace, who sing with joy and give hope, who serve the poor, who pray and teach. And that is so many of you sitting here, the ministers of this congregation. Thank you for ministering so generously to me and to one another. Would you pray with me, please? Spirit God, send a spirit of rejoicing to all of us so that our hearts may overflow with joy, even when it's hard. May we serve you, may we love you always. Amen. Now, Paul, of course, is a layman himself, a Pharisee. Now, Pharisees thought by studying and following the Torah, the law, as closely as possible, they would meet their part of the covenant with God and be a faithful and holy community. Pharisees argued with one another as to the best interpretation of the law. So if you've ever heard of Talmud or the Midrash, you're hearing the legacy of Pharisees arguing about how to read the Bible. The Pharisees became the rabbis who kept Judaism alive after the Romans destroyed the temple in Jerusalem. But in last week's reading, we heard that Paul regarded all the marks of his Judaism as garbage, set aside so that he may put all his being into knowing Christ Jesus. That's why today Paul is preaching a new tune to a very non-Jewish church. The church at Philippi is Paul's most beloved church. It has supported him through thick and thin, not just with thoughts and prayers, mind you, but also with money for him to live on, hand-delivered to him by a church member. This letter is in part a thanks for the church's generosity. The language and ideas Paul uses to speak to the church at Philippi are Greek ones, not Jewish ones, so they would have recognized his appealing to whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, pleasing, commendable. If there is any excellence and if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Paul speaks in terms the Philippian church would clearly understand because the community is experiencing difficulties. There seem to be threats all around. Paul has harsh language, as always, for the dogs, evil workers, those who mutilate the flesh. Other leaders among the Jesus followers who would require the physical mark of circumcision. In addition, there are those who worshiped the pagan gods in Philippi who are treating his beloved saints the same way they treated him, with persecution and with suffering. But even in the church itself, there is division. Euodia and Syntyche, two leaders of the church, are in conflict, and Paul, who we know could be very harsh, instead pleads with them, appeals to them. These two leaders, these two women, mind you, be of the same mind in the Lord. Paul is no longer the Pharisee here, arguing for the proper interpretation. And as a Pharisee, he would not have argued with women because they would not have been leaders in the Jewish community. He's appealing to these women, heads of this Greek community, paying most of his bills. Can't you please just get along? Be of the same mind in the Lord. Paul was not of the same mind as anyone, it seems, and certainly not the other major voices preaching Jesus. Peter and James committed to remaining Jews. These are the dogs he's attacking for their insistence on circumcision. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. And the God of peace will be with you. Paul writes from prison to his beloved church in Philippi. He has no money. He has no real authority. The predicament of the people who follow Jesus is looking pretty grim. The community of believers already is divided, some 25 years after the death of the one who they believe in. The Roman Empire is living under Nero, whose persecutions of Christians are legendary. The God of all peace may be with the early church, but this God is looking like Christ on the cross. And indeed, earlier in his letter, the Philippian hymn, probably the most beautiful expression of the complexity and gravity of our Christian faith, tells what his beloved church in Philippi has to look forward to. Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in the likeness of humanity, and being found human form, he humiliated himself, is what the Greek reads, and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Be of one mind, keep doing what you have learned from me. Yeesh. And to top it off, he goes on, rejoice in the Lord always. Really? Be known for your gentleness, your consideration, your care of others. Do not worry about anything. The church in Philippi is suffering persecution and division, and he's telling them, be of the same mind and rejoice. Think happy thoughts. Do not worry about anything. Paul's time was incredibly worrisome, and certainly so is our time. The world is presenting some challenges to my joy, and I am worried, I confess. Fires and floods, shootings and suicides. It's hard to rejoice. It's hard to rejoice in a world so full of conflict, so full of division, so full of pain. It's hard when one man's pain leads to addiction, and addiction leads to killing, as happened at Texas Tech this week. It's hard to see communities marginalize one another, leaving out the least and the lost most of all. rejoice? It's hard when our own church is so bitterly divided. Even as this weekend in Houston, some very vocal members of the United Methodist Church meet to connect Orthodox churches in committing to the authority of Scripture. Talk about Pharisees. Look around you. Are you of the same mind as this cast of characters here at Grace? Rejoice. All unicorns and rainbows with a pot of gold at the end. Paul Williams and Kenneth Asher wrote in 1979, "Why are there so many songs about rainbows? And what's on the other side? Rainbows are visions, but only illusions. And rainbows have nothing to hide." So we've been told, and some choose to believe it. But I'm with Paul. I know they're wrong. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Paul, writing from prison, still sees reason to rejoice by following another layman, another Pharisee, this Jesus of ours, who definitely was not of the same mind as the other Pharisees, and who knew that the good news was not that we be of the same mind, but that we be of the same heart in love. In rejoicing in the love of Christ, in the life and death of Jesus, Paul joins in gaining a portion of Jesus' resurrection life. I regard all as loss so that I may gain Christ, as Judith preached last week. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings that I may also know his resurrection. As the Philippian hymn goes on to say, because of his becoming one of us, God raised him higher than anyone else, gave him the name above all names, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to God's glory. The Lord is near, Paul tells his beloved church at Philippi. And so even from prison, even amidst the sufferings of the Philippian church, of all Jesus' followers, he tells them, rejoice, let your hearts be as one. Even from prison, Paul can express being of one heart with the church at Philippi. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, by a longing deep in our hearts, and with thanksgiving, always with gratitude for this life of ours, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So it's not you offer the prayers and there will be a pot of gold, the answers to our prayers on the other side. The pot of gold, it seems, is the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. It boggles the mind, but maybe not the heart. What's so amazing that keeps us stargazing, and what do we think we might see? If it's about being of one heart, the peace of God, Paul says, surpasses all understanding. I wonder if we can be one heart, amazed together. It's hard, indeed, in a world so full of division. But one cannot wait for conditions to be easy, said Archbishop Christoph Munzihirwa of Bukavu, Zaire, assassinated for speaking on behalf of human rights for the least and the lost. And so people of goodwill must never be disheartened when faced with the sudden unleashing of violence. In the midst of it all, the seed sown in our heart slowly germinates. When God becomes a child, God knows no better way to express God's self than through the weakness of a child. That is love telling us that it comes unarmed. We must never be disheartened while the seed of love sown there slowly germinates. The heart's a funny thing, of course. I had someone in this congregation tell me, I made this big decision. I just knew in my body that it was the right thing to do. I could say the same thing about being here at this pulpit, here at Grace. The heart's a funny thing. So, how's your heart? Simple question, right? Not for many of us. The poet E.E. Cummings, giving advice to students in 1953, wrote this: "A poet is somebody who feels and who expresses feelings through words. That may sound easy, but it isn't. A lot of people think or believe or know they feel, but that's thinking or believing or knowing, not feeling. Almost anybody can learn to think or believe or know, but not a single human being can be taught to feel. Why? Because whenever you think or you believe or you know, you're a lot of other people. But the moment you feel, you're nobody but yourself. To be nobody but yourself in a world which is doing its best night and day to make you everybody else means to fight the hardest battle which any human being can fight. To be nobody but yourself together, to love each other, and to be of one heart in the love of Christ Jesus, well, then we're not fighting alone. How do we do that? All of us under its spell, we know that it's probably magic. Well, it really helps to find others under its spell, others who are of one heart. Paul had the church at Philippi. He was a great community organizer, like our Becky at Faith in Texas, like the Durable Saints of Grace, whose one heart hold this place together, like other great community organizers named Bill Bryan, Chuck Cox, Adam White, Judith Reedy, who gather this community in love and in relationship to grow and to thrive. All of us contribute to the magic by guarding one another's hearts and helping to join them in Christ Jesus. One of the ways we're helping one another to feel, not think or believe or know, is to gather in class meetings, as John Wesley insisted. His strangely warmed heart knew Jesus. So these meetings gather faithful persons to help one another become of one heart around Jesus. How goes it with your soul? Wesley asked, and thousands have asked one another since. Or the question I prefer to ask, how's your heart? In asking, we join our hearts even if our minds are all over the place. As God fulfills the covenant to never leave us, we build a covenant to walk with one another, support one another, love one another. Then we are guarded in the peace of Christ. Knowing this love, our hearts burst from the love, and we can be nobody but yourself in a loving community. A saint in our community said to me this week, "I finally figured out that here at Grace I don't have to please anyone. I can just be myself. I've heard it too many times to ignore it. It's something that I'm supposed to be." I see it in artists like our own Cap Pinnell, the best minimalist artist in the U.S. in 2017, winner of the American Art Award, opening a show in Santa Fe Friday night. I see it in artists like Nicole Melke and her children. I see it in the queers in this community, free to be nobody but yourself, like Nicole Melke and her children who she works with. We can be violinists, musicians, and do well in school, no matter where we come from. Queers like myself, trans folk, among the most brave I have ever seen. You want queer? How about Judith and Rick Reedy, indeed any of us, who could choose any church in the North Texas Conference, and instead we choose to be here at Grace, together, with you, the lovers, the dreamers, and me. Paul says, "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." When hearts and minds come together, then our imaginations are piqued. We can be artists, queers, lovers, dreamers in a safe and rejoicing place. Next week, we are going to begin to gather our dreams in this safe, loving, wonderful community. We are going to imagine dreams of grace. As we renew our commitment to pray, be present, give, serve, and witness, to walk with each other, join our hearts in Christ Jesus, and imagine new ways to be a community that reaches out, loves all, and experiences grace. Be here these next 4 weeks. We're going to welcome new neighbors and continue to serve faithful ones. We're going to have a homecoming on October 29th, and we're going to celebrate lovers and dreamers all the way through November 12th and beyond together. And the God of peace will be with us. Amen.
During this time of silence, let us pray for those who love and dream. God, we come into your presence with praise and thanksgiving for your faithful love. Your love never fails, not even when we ignore your invitation or desert you for gods of our own making. Even then, you do not abandon us, but reach out again and again, inviting us back into relationship once more. As you welcome us, so you welcome our prayers. We bring them to you with confidence, knowing that you will hear and answer. We pray for the world you created and the people who share it with us, for countries caught up in war or violent conflict, for regions of the world recovering from hurricanes, fires, and floodings, for those who are hungry and those without homes, for those in all the other areas in our world where there is need and despair. We pray for our country and for its people, for our government leaders, for our judicial systems, police forces and military, for our cities, towns, and rural communities, for employers, employees, for young and old, for all who are a part of this great country. We pray for our local communities, the people of Dallas, for those who are unemployed, for those in prison, for those who are hungry, for those who are alone and afraid, for all our neighbors, both known and unknown to us. We pray for this congregation, our brothers and sisters in Christ, for those who are ill, for those who are anxious about the future, for those struggling with their faith, for those who minister among us, for all your people in this place. Pour out your spirit on us. Fix our hearts and minds on what is true and honorable and right. Give us the joys and peace that comes from knowing and doing your will. Keep us faithful to the call we have received in Christ Jesus, our Lord, extending your loving invitation to the world around us. We ask this in his name, in the words he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Amen. Please join me in our prayer of repentance and receive